selected verses from the second epistle to Corinthians chapter 6. It's a very practical portion of the scriptures and one that challenges us if we read it thoughtfully. I'd like to read from verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Did you know that there are commandments? We say there's no 10 commandments for us. Well, here's one anyway. Straight out commandment. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I don't want to speak very much about what I've read, but my thoughts today focus on the last verse. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What relationship is God to us? To Mary, on that wonderful first Lord's Day morning, the Lord said to her, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Is God really our Father? You say, of course he is. The prayer the Lord told his disciples to pray was, Our Father which art in heaven. And so those of us that have come to him and know him through our Lord Jesus as a personal Lord and Saviour, have come to know him as a loving Heavenly Father. Or have we? I assume we all have. The Lord said, and I think it was the fifth of the Ten Commandments, the Lord said, Honour thy father and mother. And that's repeated a couple of times in the New Testament, just straight out like that. And the exhortation is that those of us who are children should honour our earthly human fathers and mothers. And if that's true in an earthly way and a natural way, how much more true ought it be to our spiritual Father, our Heavenly Father? And the Lord says here, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out and be separate, live separately, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If God is our Father, it follows that we're the sons of God. If he's our Father, we're his children. We're his sons and daughters, as the Apostle writes. Romans 8 and 14 reads, and I'll read it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, we're the children of God. And so those of us who have come to him, we're his children, he is our Father, and we can, in that intimate family relationship, call him Abba Father. And I've mentioned it here before, and I'll never forget. That morning I walked around Jerusalem, and it was the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And the fathers had been to the synagogue, And about mid-morning, at 10:30, the women and the young children walked down the street to meet their fathers as they came back from the synagogue. And there's a little toddler about 18 months or 2 years, toddles down the road from his mother and just repeats the word Abba, Abba, as he trotted down. And we've come to know the eternal God as a loving Heavenly Father. And so we can call him our Father which art in heaven. Hebrews 12 says, "For as much as we have human fathers which did correct us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" If we've obeyed our earthly fathers and honoured them, if we've given them reverence that's their due, much rather, the writer says, should we much not more give our Heavenly Father that due reverence, even although he chastises us. And that's very serious. And it's something for us to think about. First Epistle of Peter. Peter writes, "Since ye call on a Father who judges every man's works impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverential fear." We call him our Father. And Peter says, if that's so, live your lives in reverential fear. Give him the fear, the honour, and the dignity and respect that's due to him, our Heavenly Father. We've come to know him. He's a loving Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus reminds us of him in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you ask him a fish, he'll not give you a snake. If you ask him for bread to eat, he'll not give you a stone. He loves us. And he's our Heavenly Father. And yet, because of that, you and I ought to respond and give him the honour and respect that's due to him. In Malachi verse 1 and 6, the prophet writes to Israel, "A son honoureth his father, a servant his master. But if then I be a father, where's mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear?" And this was the complaint the Lord had of Israel. They were his earthly children, but they didn't give him the honour that was due to him. They went and mingled with the world around and worshipped those idols. And so the question is, if I am your father, where is mine honour? And I thought of these verses and I asked myself the question, does the Lord ask the same question of me? If I acknowledge him and call him my father, does he in return say, well, where's mine honour? Do I honour him in my life, that he is my father? Do I do the words that he says as Peter says? Or do we lightly recite the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, and we give him no respect or honour. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I've nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me." And the picture here again is of Israel and of that relationship of God as Father to them. What a wonderful Father he was to Israel. He could not have been better. And yet in spite of that, a greater, more faithful Father than any earthly father, and in spite of that, these children that he had brought up with such love and care, they'd rebelled against him. I sometimes wonder, as we see some of our children rebelling against their parents, I ask myself the question, well, what's new? If they've rebelled, and if we've rebelled against such a wonderful Heavenly Father, can we blame our natural children at times for doing the same? It's a little encouragement to those who are parents and seek faithfully to discharge their obligation. But here the emphasis is, the Lord had brought up children, and they'd rebelled against them, against him as a father. Does the Lord see the same thing in my heart and yours? Our Heavenly Father, does he see you and me rebelling against him and going our own way? And those of us who are natural parents and see our children not doing just what we would like, it causes grief and anguish, doesn't it? How much more it must grieve our Heavenly Father when he sees you and me, his children, going our way and rebelling against him. And so these are a few thoughts. The Lord says, I will be a father unto you. I thought in this way, and I just quickly thumbed through the book of Proverbs. And I was impressed by the number of times we get the phrase, and obviously Solomon, as he wrote it, must have had in mind his own sons, or one son in particular. And these are a few phrases out of Proverbs, and yet I think they've got a spiritual application to us. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. Is that not a fitting application of our Heavenly Father as he speaks to us? Don't forget his teaching. Keep his commandments within our hearts. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. And again, my son, pay attention to my wisdom and listen to my words. And again, my son, keep your father's commandments. And again, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. As I thought about them, I thought of the spiritual application of our Heavenly Father saying, my son, don't forget my teaching. So it's a challenge to us. Every time as we acknowledge our Father in our prayer, do we indeed give him the honour, the respect that's due to him? In Proverbs 23 and 26. I remember hearing this as a young Christian and it never made sense to me. And I thought about it many times. And perhaps I shouldn't admit it, but I heard recently a song on the wireless, and as I heard it, the meaning of this verse of Proverbs clicked into his perspective. There's a bit of a worldly song and part of it, and I don't know any other words of it, but the only words that I understood was, give me your heart. And Solomon says 23 and 26 of Proverbs, my son, give me your heart, and let your eyes keep to my ways. And so our loving Heavenly Father, the Father in whom we've come to know and trust, to whom we bear our souls and pray, our Father that's guided and kept and looked after us, he just says simply to us, my son, give me your heart. And I'm quite sure if we think about it, we'll find that it controls our whole lives, they'll all be different. If we give him our heart, with all that that means, and let your eyes keep to my ways. I leave the thoughts with you.